Welcome to Good Dogs, a show dedicated to helping you understand your dog better so you can live a better life together. This is one of the original Good Dog shows from many years ago, but the advice is still right on the money. Gail Watkins, you just took a giant trip to North Carolina, your big move from New York State. I imagine that your Goldens all are lovely young ladies and gentlemen in the car. Is that true? Car manners is a big issue. And I'm just wondering, are yours just great because they've been to so many agility conventions and stuff that they're just veterans of the car?
I have to say, my guys are so amazing in the car, but I'm not sure it's because they've shown so much. I think it's simply because the standard is set very early in their lives, and it's a very high standard that you will be quiet, you will lie down, you will relax, because for me, it's as important that they are calm and relaxed as they are quiet. That way you can take them everywhere with you, and they can go on long trips, and they can go on vacation with you. It's just wonderful.
And how about they can stay in the car for long periods very, very happily?
Oh.
I mean, that's the great part.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's really – I tell you, I was just remembering the other night, and it made me so proud of her in retrospect about Maisie. Went to pick her up as a nine-month-old from the Wyme Rescue down in Virginia Beach, because I'm such an ignoramus about geography, I didn't know how far it was from Vermont to Virginia Beach. Oh, my God. I needed to lie down in the back and have a bone. That was long. So there she was, 9 months old, and, you know, she'd gotten somewhat attached to the guy from the rescue. I think she'd been there a couple of months. She didn't really want to leave him. She gets in the car. And she's a little excited, but I have a barrier up, but one you could put your head over if you wanted to. And I had a nice bone back there for her. And she settled right down with it. I was just in awe. She settled down. Here's this girl who's had a bunch of changes in her life. And we're driving and driving and driving. And I'm trying at least every 2 hours to take her out for a whittle, you know, and some water. She's great. She's happy there. My sister's in the passenger seat. Gave her a little bite of her egg sandwich. By the way, Maisie still thinks 2 years later that my sister is the most incredible goddess in the world because she got a bite of egg salad sandwich. We're convinced that's what it is. So that very same night, we get all the way back to Connecticut where my sister lives. And I, of course, think I should only be in the house for the next 6 weeks with the dog and never leave her alone. But my sister's husband wants to go out to dinner. He's been waiting day and night for us to come back. And I say, okay, well, you guys go in your car and I'll take Maisie in mine, thinking, that's a nine-month-old puppy. She's just been in this car for how long? I let her out and let her run around for an hour, you know. And I go in this restaurant thinking, what will my car look like? It's a lease. What will the inside of the car look like when I come back?
You are brave.
So I snuck out during dinner, and that little sweetheart in a car that she'd only been in for one day with a woman she'd only known for less than a day, she was having a nice snooze, and I looked in the window. I said, hi, Maisie. She was like, oh, wow. Oh, my gosh. It is you. That's so cool. And we had a little love fest, and I said, babe, sorry. I got to go back and finish dinner, thinking, God, that's got her wound up. That was maybe not a great idea. Wait here, baby girl. Come back out an hour later. Dog is totally cool. Put her on a leash, walked her around, and from that day forward, she lives to be in the car, and when she's in there, when she first gets in, she'll chew on a bone for maybe 5 minutes. It's like that initial excitement. We're off.
Yep.
And then she's chill, sometimes head out the window, mostly lying down. And that's it. And I just think it's the greatest gift. And then when we got Wanda, Maisie taught her to be like that.
Yeah, that can really
help. That's the good thing, right?
It really is.
So yep. I could have been the unlucky girl whose seatbelts were all chewed off and her door handle, right?
Mm-hmm. Or she was slathering and
slobbering
and hysterical and barking and terrified.
Yeah.
Or car sick.
There's another one. So so if you have the lucky lottery and you not only – don't get to start the puppy though, but it's like, you know, a teenage adolescent dog and you don't know what their history is in the car. Maybe they were always in a tight, scary crate. I don't know. You can test it that way and maybe be lucky. But what if you aren't lucky? What if you have a dog that pants and paces? I mean, there are some essential oils and stuff, you know, essence, spirit essence things that are about travel and nausea. And I think Rescue Remedy has one. Do you think those things have value?
Sure. I think anything that can calm the dog, adaptyl collars.
Yes, adaptyl or adaptyl spray inside the car.
You could do the adaptyl spray.
That's a good one.
But I think that more importantly, or as importantly, is accepting that we have to teach dogs to be how we want them to behave in the car. What we normally do is, honestly, do what you did. Chuck them in the car and see how it works out.
Right.
You happen to have a dog that picked all of the right behaviors.
Yeah.
A little, lie down, hang out, not a big deal. But if your dog is doing any of these other behaviors, in particular, barking constantly. It's very difficult to drive when you have a dog that's barking constantly.
I've seen people do it. It's like a loop of a dog barking the whole time they're driving. I don't know how the people could stand it.
No, and it can't be good for their driving. It certainly isn't good for the dog.
No.
And so we want to think, I have to teach this dog how I want it to behave in the car. What are the things I want it to do? I would like it to be quiet. I would like it to stay in one place. You see the dogs that are slamming from side to side while you're driving and distracting you, or worse yet, the ones that are on you. You know, that are getting on you while you're driving.
Absolutely. And their head is out the window on you.
Makes me crazy when I see that. If we think texting is bad, having your dog on you while you're driving is equally bad.
Well, before we go to a break, let's remember what happened to Stephen King, the great author, where a driver with a dog in the back that was distracting him ran over Stephen King on the side of the road, you know?
Yep.
I mean, that's not a good thing. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Okay, we're back, Gail. So we want that calm dog, but we have to help that dog not be the pacing, barking, drooling. I had one guy whose whole car was ruined by the dog just pouring saliva the whole time.
Ugh. So let's separate nausea, drooling, and possibly vomiting. So those dogs that are car sick. Let's separate
that's physical,
car sick.
Right.
Right. So let's start with how do we teach a dog how we want it to behave? Well, number one, a collar and leash are your greatest tools. Add a second person to that, and you have a way to teach your dog how you want it to behave. So the starting point is put the dog on the collar and leash in the car, have someone else drive. You focus on the dog to start with.
I see.
So you have your treats. Your dog knows how to sit, hopefully, and even if it doesn't, you have control over it. You're not giving the dog room to run in the entire
right.
car, just like you buckle your children in.
You know,
your toddlers are in a car seat. Your dog should be on a leash and a collar in the back seat or the front seat, and it is under control. And one of the things I always tell people is the second reason they put headrests in cars is so that you can loop your leash around it and keep
your dog. Oh, that's a second reason.
I know.
Well, how do you feel about a dog harness seatbelts?
Well, I'm a great believer that dogs should be confined in cars. They are as dangerous without a seatbelt or a crate as we are. And so not only are they at tremendous risk for being thrown out of the car in an accident or slammed into the front of the car, but they also may hit you. So if you think about how big Maisie is, what is she, 55 pounds?
Oh, I'm sorry, that would be 80.
80 pounds, and she's in the back of the car, and you have an accident.
And you can see her ribs. I just want to take credit for that.
She's
slender.
I believe.
I saw her ribs today rippling as she ran.
So you have 80 pounds hitting the back of your seat and in an accident. It's going to be a lot more than 80 pounds if she goes airborne. So I have had many, many, many friends have accidents over the years. We drive a lot. We travel a lot. And dogs that are thrown free usually don't survive. And we all know, when is your highest likelihood of having an accident?
Close to home.
In your neighborhood. And that's usually the time that we don't buckle our dogs in or put them in a crate. So I am a great believer in them, but I don't think that has to be the starting point. I think the starting point is teaching your dog to be calm. And so that's going to be you, the leash, the collar, you're sitting with the dog. You are calming them without reinforcing them for being hysterical. So you're just petting them slowly, gently. You have your essential oils. You're treating, giving them treats if they're calm enough when they are good. And you're going for a 5-minute drive.
Right.
And where are you not? Where is your destination not?
The vet.
Vet. The vet. Here, let me make you love the car. Let's go jab you with something.
Put something up your hiney.
Exactly, exactly. Usually the only trips puppies take are to the vet. And it's no wonder they don't love the car. So drive around the block. Go to the end of the driveway and back. Go to the park. Go anywhere but to the vet. And you want to think about it that 5 out of 6 times you're going someplace other than the vet. And the 6th time you can go to the vet. You're going to start with short trips. Does it take effort? It does. This is training, just like sit and down and come. All of those things. But it is focused on teaching your dog how to be polite in the car. If, and it's really important to drive by other people, to drive by bicycles.
Bicycles. May I just say a word about bicycles and motorcycles? It turns out are in the same category. Maisie, any number of dogs can go by, any number of anything you wish, but a bicycle, she barks at it. But she just barks a little bit.
Oh, yeah, that's.
And then she stops. So I thought. I have bark collars for the car. When I used to travel with 3 dogs all the time, I had 1 heavy-duty barker. Anybody, and a pedestrian or any dog, she would start to bark and she wouldn't stop. And it made the 2 boys bark as well. So it was a chaotic, horrible noise. And, of course, I did just what you're not supposed to do. Be quiet! You know, yelling at them. Someone, shut up, you idiots! And then someone said, oh, have it rain cookies so that when they see the other dogs... Yeah, have you ever tried to throw treats while you're driving into the back of the car? You have 3 dogs all going after the same treat? I don't think so. So I got these bark collars. I studied all the choices, and there were some that had a little computer in them. And it was a pretty clever computer because it noticed, it knew how to designate that it was a sound and a vibration of the throat. So if your neighbor dog barked and you were wearing a bark collar, it wouldn't give you a zap.
Right.
But if it was you, you got a zap. And it's not a hideous zap. I mean, it's a very low level tweak. And the very first time that it went off on Jazzy, she went, oh, like that. And I'm like, yeah, exactly.
Did she ever bark again?
She didn't actually.
Yeah.
I just put the bark collar and never had to turn it on again. It was just fantastic. She didn't like that sound or that feeling, the feeling I should say, and I didn't like the sound. So I've considered, do I put a bark collar on Maisie who vocalizes when we go by a bicycle, but then stops instantly?
Nah,
I don't really feel I should. Good. Because I feel like she's letting me know there's that ridiculous thing that goes round and round.
It's the shorts.
I knew it had to be something. And with the motorcycles, I think it has to do with, you know, the sleeveless leather vest thing. I'm not sure. We're going to take a break. When we get back, we're going to talk a little bit more about good car manners. Okay, Gail, so the bark collar, if there's an out-of-control barking, it's a beautiful thing, I have to say. You need the costly one, not one that you're telling. You're not pushing a button. Just all the dog has to do is bark for it to work. My sister has 2 dogs in the house who, when one starts barking, they can bark for hours. That's with you in the house. I said, I can't visit you again. Would you like a bark collar? And they put them on them. And the dogs don't bark when they're on. So, I mean, it's kind of sweet. They don't bark. They don't get zapped. They don't, you know, it makes life better. In terms of the other thing I wanted to talk about in the car was something that for me is a really critical issue. It's that the dog waits and never jumps out of the car until released verbally and with a hand signal. I bet that's a pretty big thing in your world, too.
Absolutely. It's so important for their safety. If you are on a busy road or you're at a rest area and there's trucks pulling in and out,
oh God,
and your dog bolts out of that car, it's a very, very, very frightening thing. So just like coming out of their crate, going outside through the front door, dogs very, very quickly, within one session, can learn to restrain themselves until they are released. And the way you do that, I personally don't use a command for it. My command is the door itself. That way, I know they're safe if anybody opens the door to that car. So if I'm in
an
accident.
Oh, that's smart.
And I can't tell you that their command is wait, then they are just going
right.
to wait because there's a hand on the door. That's their signal that they have to wait. And it is, I think, just an additional safety mechanism. And what I found is they may not, the person that's letting them out may not know their release word, but dogs tend to respond to, okay, free.
Right.
Whatever.
Right.
Come on.
Exactly.
That they seem to be a little more laissez-faire about whether that person actually got the right word or not.
Well, for most dogs, certainly mine, when I most 99.9%, they also happen to adore the vet. The vet, they get attention. It smells divine in there. They like it. I mean,
yep.
I'm always, all the texts come in and say, we've heard you have these two wimes that are so well behaved and friendly and loving. And I'm like, well, why wouldn't they be? Life is good. But the places that we stop, when they're released, they go like bats out of hell.
Right.
Because I park somewhere where they can bolt into that field.
Sure.
I'm just, you know, not everyone has that lucky thing. Most people have to go from the car to someplace safe.
Yep. So the way that I work it is that when I train them in the garage or at home in the...
Oh, right.
Yep. So we just start the training there. And all I do is put my hand on the door and wait for them to sit. And they're at first going to have their nose down, ready to run out.
Oh, interesting.
And then they look at you through the window like, have you lost your mind? What is the matter with you? And they'll offer either to back up a little or to sit. And the instant they do, I start to open the door. And of course, they come forward and I close the door. Not on them, but I close the door.
No, I hear you.
And
cool.
I play that game that I will move that door, go to close that door anytime they move forward until I can have the door completely open. But then I add a second step. And it doesn't sound like you need to do this, but I highly recommend this for people. I have what's known as a collar command. And so when I say the word collar, you should move forward so I can put your leash on.
And so listen to you. You must be a dog trainer.
Well, it's too, you know, it's that.
That's fancy.
Because, okay, great. Your dog doesn't bolt out the door initially, but then you have to reach down to get the leash out.
Right.
And the dog's gone.
Yes.
And so all of your training was for naught. And so if instead they know it's a two-step process, to get out that door, it takes two things. First, I have to sit and wait for the door to open, and then I
then
have
to... she has to put the damn leash on.
That damn leash. And then I can come out, and I'll let them out and have them sit and take the leash right off again. It's not like
right.
we actually have
right.
to go anywhere. But I want those two steps because, as you said, we just drove from New York to North Carolina, and we stopped at rest areas all over the East Coast, and we needed the dogs to be safe in those rest areas or at restaurants when we were stopping for meals. So I think I'm so cognizant of car safety. Dogs simply will never win against a car. And very, very few dogs are savvy enough to understand that that's actually Interstate 81. And that run out there, you're going
well, my thing that's really nutty, it's just like a nutty thing I've always done with my dogs because I've always, at least in the last 25 years, tried to live at a house that has a long, long driveway going to it. I just love that feeling. I actually grew up with a house that had a long, long driveway with birch trees on either side. But it was more in suburbia compared to where I've lived since.
Right.
So I can't believe that Maisie understood this from the very first time. Then she taught it to Wanda. But every dog I've ever had, I get to the beginning of that driveway that's maybe a quarter of a mile from my house at least. My house isn't visible from these driveways. And I open the back door, and it's an SUV, so they can't see my hand on it, and it's blacked out windows. But they know to wait, and I go, okay, go home. And the dogs run around, and they run in front of the car, and I drive very slowly behind them. Now, I don't know what that makes them think about cars, but they run all the way home in front of me, look over their shoulder every so often, are you still coming? It's pretty cool.
I have to say, I used to run my dogs in California with the car. It is risky. We have to be really cognizant of where they are, but they
cross in front of
you.
They love to run home and have that excitement of running home and seeing what all the smells are between the beginning of that long driveway and home. But they will bolt right in front of the car. I've taught them that that cars are no danger at all because they respect you.
Exactly.
Oh, well.
Exactly.
But in my life, it works.
Exactly.
All right. So I tell you what I'm going to do on the basis of this. I have always said with anyone with small dogs, get those dogs out of the front seat. For God's sake, get them out of your lap. It's just so dangerous. Projectile out the window. Sharp stop. They're squashed between you and the airbag and so forth and so on. But I've always been really naughty about my dogs because I had three dogs in the back of an SUV all tricked out as a dogmobile. And I could have had bolts put in, I guess, and put harnesses on and attach them to the bolts, but I didn't do it. But now that I only have two that travel with me, I think I'm going to get some real comfy, nice harnesses.
Yep.
Orvis carries a bunch of different ones.
They do.
And you can attach with a bit of a line, a short line, and that just keeps the dog from being thrown out or against the front of the car, right?
True. And some of them, important thing to look at, Tracy, are those that have been crash tested. And there's an increasing number that have gone through crash testing just like cars and seatbelts. Because some harnesses are just going to release at the slightest tension
against
them. And you just hook them right into the seatbelt. So if the harness is the same quality as the seatbelt, the dog is not going to be thrown.
But the problem is there are no seats in the back of my car. It's all flattened out with wonderful cushions. But there are other rings you can attach thing to.
Exactly.
All right. We're gonna follow the Dr. Watkins safety program.
You're
because
great.
When you say you've had friends that actually lost dogs from accidents.
Oh yes.
Oh yes. God, I would never. Ever forgive myself because I don't do what I preach.
Oh, I now need to do what I preach. I spent days driving I-5 in California looking for a Siberian that had been thrown free and his owner was in the hospital. But we never found him. I have no idea where he
ended up. Oh, my. That happened to a friend of mine who actually wound up in a coma and dying of a fast car wreck in Italy, 40 miles an hour, but she was thrown out the window because she didn't do what I said, which was to wear her seatbelt.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really terrible. But the dachshund disappeared, and who knows?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not a good thing. Okay, we're not going to get too depressing, but we're going to say seatbelts.
Nope.
I'm going right online to Orvis right now.
There you go.
Right this minute. I'm going to get myself a crash test, two crash tested harnesses. Thank you so much, Gail.
Thanks, Tracy. Always
happy
wonderful.
Travels to you and all the doggies.
Thanks.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.